Why? A strong ruler had a long arm. His authority was respected. It was respected among the lesser lords who governed segments of his kingdom, especially those at the edge on the periphery, because they knew that if they rebelled, armies would descend and they would be in big trouble. But if the center was weak, it could easily fall apart at the edge. So you've got this constant expansion and contraction of kingdoms in Southeast Asia, and again, a very volatile political situation. But if you think of a concertina, or hundreds of concertinas, you will get the idea, dozens of them, acting in chorus, sometimes in harmony, sometimes not in harmony. And these mandalas, or kingdoms, flourished in riverine and lowland areas where the populations were high, especially in the Tonle Sap and the lower Mekong. The Tonle Sap being an inland basin which floods regularly. We know something of the lower Mekong states from Han Chinese. They called the lower Mekong Funan, the port of a thousand rivers. To them, it was a delta area where gold, bronze, silver, and spices could be obtained in abundance, many of them coming down the river from inland. The few Chinese sources we have tell of a swampy land which was transformed by highly organized drainage into an agricultural powerhouse. This sort of transformation requires highly disciplined, well-organized labor forces. In addition, Funan was a transportation hub for boat trade over a very, very wide area. It was the perfect place for this, because on the one hand there was shelter, on the other hand easy communication with inshore, and the other hand boats from outside could come in and load cargoes, and yet their movements could be watched. Each major settlement in Funan was connected to the ocean by canals and fortified with great earthworks and moats in the classic fashion, teeming with crocodiles. Funan, and we know nothing of its rulers, prospered greatly from the 3rd to the 6th centuries AD. But, as I said a few minutes ago, the political situation in the delta was always volatile. By the 6th century, the center of political and economic gravity had shifted inland, upstream, to the Tonle Sap, this great depression, called by the Chinese Shenla. Tonle Sap, with its annual floods, its rich rice fields, and superabundance of fish, was the perfect place to support dense populations. It had long supported small kingdoms. It had long been a crucible of constant warfare and diplomatic activity. And inevitably, over time, larger states appeared in the region. Rather like China, you just got this consolidation going on. And by this time, Hinduism was well established in the region. Now, devotion to the Hindu creator Shiva became a mechanism for justifying divine kingship. Everything depended on individual ability, with all the lords of the Tonle Sap sharing one ambition, to rule over as large a kingdom as possible. Earlier rulers were unable to cement together a large kingdom. And then in AD 802, and I guess this is an inevitable thing that happens, a leader appears. A dynamic Khmer monarch named Jayavarman II conquered his competitors and set up his new territories as tribute kingdoms. He set up a large mandala. At the same time, he merged the ancient cult of the ancestors with that of Shiva to consolidate his state. Rather like the first emperor of China, he transformed the vision of the world.